For some of us, when the sun sets and the world slows down a bit, we wake up and get a new surge of energy. This is what happens to photographer Tim Durkin. He lives in Seattle's Capitol Hill neighborhood.
The streets start really showing their personality after dark. The commuters have gone home. All the yoga stores have closed. The PCC and the Whole Foods, everybody's got their freaking quinoa. Everybody's at home with their little behind their closed doors.
Tim started going on night walks to escape his small studio apartment.
This is connecting with the neighborhood. You know, this is fun to get out and see what's going on in my neighborhood. Why did the shots ring out at Pike and Broadway? Who was down here? Who saw what happened? What cop was on duty? Did 25 come down and save the day? It's like an ongoing Shakespearean play, I'm telling you. It's a lively neighborhood, and I want to get the most out of it.
On Capitol Hill, especially along Broadway, everyone knows him. Tim is known for his stunning photos of supermoons and the Space Needle, but most of the pictures he takes are of the men, women, and kids, really, some as young as 14, who live on the streets. On these walks, Tim checks in on the addicts, the mentally ill, people most of us avoid, especially when it's dark outside.
You good? Oh, is that Daniel? Oh, hey, Daniel. I'm sorry, brother, I didn't recognize you, man. How's things? Okay.
Beneath his scraggly beard, Daniel is a slim young man who's addicted to heroin. We meet him on the sidewalk at Republican and Broadway, just outside a QFC. Tim says this is the spot where you can buy a cheap bag of heroin from the dealers who travel on bikes.
If we were to stand out here without a microphone and a camera, we could score a bag of heroin in about 10 minutes for less than 10 bucks, which is unfortunate, but it is the reality out here, and it is one of the problems that the city is battling for sure. So yeah, right here, or the bus stop, which also acts as a quasi-homeless shelter, as we'll probably see, somebody's got their set up here. How's it going, guys?
It's one of those nights when the stars are out, but the clear skies come at a cost. It's terribly cold and flat out dangerous to be outside if you don't have enough layers. A new face pokes out from a pile of blankets inside the bus shelter.
Yeah, my name's Tim, man.
My name's Jesse. Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you, Jesse. Yeah. All right,
my dog, Dexter.
Oh, hey, Dexter. Yeah. Good to see you down there.
I don't see him.
He's keeping you warm, man.
Dexter, a small mutt snuggled next to Jesse, is wearing his own little doggy jacket. Tim hands out hand warmers, slices of hot pizza, and then he pulls out his camera that was tucked inside his coat.
So, hey, can I grab a picture of you with the dog,
sure,
man?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet, buddy. You from Seattle, Jess?
No, I'm from Georgia.
How long have you been in town?
I've been here 6 years. I took care of my stepmom, and she had cancer.
Oh, good man, good man.
And she passed away, and I just came on some hard times. And
you gonna do any kind of a shelter at all coming winter?
I really can't because I have post-traumatic stress really bad.
Okay.
And I went to prison for 5 years because I killed my father.
Yeah.
Because he beat my mom.
Yep.
And I snapped when I was 18.
Okay.
And so I have a lot of mental issues.
You don't like hanging out with a bunch of other guys sitting on a floor.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I have never been to a concert in my life. I can't be around big crowds.
All right.
So I just hang to myself and do the best I can.
That's good. You know your limitations. Absolutely. You ever been to one of the tent cities or Nickelville?
Yeah, I have, but it's too crowded.
It's pretty crowded. Yeah. Ballard, mm-hmm. Inner Bay.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure to meet you, man.
God bless you, man.
All right, brother. Peace and love. Daniel, it's good to see you, man. Catch you later.
Yep.
See you guys.
Be safe out there, man.
Will do, promise.
All right. There it is, the big scary homeless people sitting at a bus stop, eating leftover donuts, but sitting in a trash can for, 2 days. A lot of the folks that stay out here are, they're shelter resistant for a couple different reasons. One of them is that in the tent cities that are run by ShareWheel and Low Income Housing Institute, they don't allow drugs and alcohol, period. So the city's got a proposal to have three new shelters, one of them being a low barrier, which I think is a great idea. It would help guys like Daniel and Jesse get out of the shelters where they don't have to worry about having two or three $100 bench warrants out for their arrest. Or they don't have to be afraid of using their drug of choice, which they're going to do in the bus stop tonight, guaranteed. I see it every night.
Have you ever brought anyone home?
Yes. Just the other night. cleaned his feet on my couch, which is was a little gross, but we all got to clean our feet. I just wish he would have done it outside, but yeah, it was freezing cold, and he had a friend of mine had just gotten out of prison, and we bumped into each other up here. He'd been in the big house for about 4 years, and of course didn't have any plan of action when he got out at all. And so we spent a couple hours just getting warm, watching a couple episodes of Star Trek, and getting him some hand warmers, some new socks, and letting him clean his toes off a little bit.
So you've been doing this for how long?
25 years, 23 years, yeah.
And how many friends on the streets have you lost?
I've lost track. Yeah, some go away and never come back. I have known there's success stories too. There was a young lady I knew who I became quite fond for, and she worked her way up off the streets and got into Harvard and graduated. And she was a brilliant scholar inside, but she just got a bad home life and some bad luck, wound up on the streets. And the next thing you know, she's shooting up dope. And I couldn't believe it when I found out how smart she was. But through her network, including me, she pulled it together and went to college, got herself through it, which is amazing. And there's other smaller success stories too.
What do you do with all of your photographs?
I've got a couple different libraries. I think my main library is over 500,000 pictures now, and a majority of them they'll never see the light of day. And that's because some of them are horribly bad. Some of them are tragic. I don't show pictures of dead people. I come across them pretty regularly,
actually. How often do you come across someone's body?
A couple times a year. It was a dead girl I came across down in Westlake and Denny at the bus stop, right there at Whole Foods. Blue like an Oompa Loompa. Dead, she'd been dead for a couple hours. And I was in my car and I looked over and I'm like, man. But I took a picture because it was, it's like 20 feet away, and called 911, and they came and, took her away. But people, it's at the bus stop. Had somebody stopped by like you and I did at the bus stop just to say, hey, in that critical 4 minute to kind of 10 minute time period, she would have been fine.
We keep walking south on Broadway. We're standing at the corner of Pike and Broadway, waiting for the light to turn. A young man smoking a cigarette on the sidewalk asks what we're up to. He says his name is Shelby. He and Tim don't know each other, but they start talking, and it turns out Shelby, who has a home now, was homeless a few years ago. Tim starts asking the questions.
When you think back to your homeless days, what are a couple things that helped clinch the deal? I don't want to be homeless.
The most specific thing that I remember, and I was just talking to my dad about this the other day, was I woke up and I was sleeping in a slide that I had wedged. There was like a gap in the slide that I was able to wedge like a piece of wood and kind of make something so I could kind of put my feet on it so I wouldn't slide down the slide all the way. And I woke up to this little girl coming down the slide that was like 2 or 3 years old. And I came down and I was like, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And the guy, her dad, was at the bottom of the slide. Totally was the best guy who could have this happened to. He said, it's okay, I'm not upset, are you hungry? And his daughter shared her Teddy Grahams with me. I started crying and he gave me 50 cents to call my mom. And I called my mom and I said, I want to come home. And she said, how do we know you're serious? And I said, I'll cut off my dreadlocks. And that was like a big thing for my parents. A big thing for my parents of my rebellion is I refused to cut my hair. And so just as a sign of like, I'm ready to do something besides, for someone else, not just myself. So I went to a barber and I told them my story and they cut my hair and shampooed it. And I went home and my parents helped me get into treatment and I did good. And now I'm beautiful. Not homeless.
Dude, bring it on in here. Bring it on here,
cool.
Brother. Bring it on in.
I'll take it.
Dude, that is amazing. That's an amazing story. Now, do you talk to your parents still?
Yeah.
You tell your mother you love her yet this week?
I was just on the phone with her a few minutes ago.
This is why Tim Durkin walks. Moments like the one that just happened.
There's a balance to the streets. It provides me the perspective that I need. I'm not going to forget that kid's story ever in my life. It's cataloged up here. Another story. Another story.
To see photos from my walk that night with Tim Durkin, go to our website, knkx.org.